Shopify presents cool sheets from aha to
lying awake while you bake isn't cool. I suffered from the wrong kind of hot in bed, heat-induced insomnia. That was my aha moment. Bed sheets that keep you cool. Then I thought, how do I even sell bed sheets? That's when I had the idea that made it all possible, signing up on Shopify. With the help of Shopify's intuitive online store creator, I started selling sustainable bamboo sheets that keep cool year-round. And my cool idea became a reality. Hot sleepers around the world rejoice. Shopify makes it simple to keep your cool while starting and growing your business. Start selling with Shopify today and join the commerce platform powering millions of businesses worldwide. From aha to anything is possible.
This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Start selling online today. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/free22. shopify.com/free22.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. Now on this, on this sixth day of January 2023, folks, 2 years ago today, tonight we have with us steering the ship through the fog tonight, none other than, who's making that noise? Is that you, Gib McTurnan?
It might be, Pastor Ernie.
Well, stop it! Okay, now, he's still doing it. Steering the ship, we have none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And making all that racket, we have none other than Big John McTurnan.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. God bless you.
All righty. Thanks. And our special guest tonight is none other than Ken Cromer.
Hello. How are you doing tonight?
We're doing good. Friend? So, now, you guys, you two fellows are hardcore Christian activists, Christian patriots. For a long time, you've been out there running to the battle. Tonight, let's start the program off with prayer tonight. I want to do two things. We got two prayers tonight, and I think you've got a prayer too, Ken. But first, I want to start the program off with a prayer for our nation. Heavenly Father, Lord God, again, our nation, we stand right now in the shadow of an awesome God, but an angry God. Lord, you've told us that you are angry with the wicked every day. And Father God, as we gather here today, we are at a crossroads. And Father God, we're asking you, we're praying, Lord God, that you again would raise up enough people. We're there, Father God, that you would overrule the deep state. Lord God, if they refuse to be brought to repentance, Lord, that they be removed. Joe Biden is an extremely wicked man, Lord. We see what his agenda is, death, death, and more death. So, God, again, we're gathered here tonight, and we ask, Father God, Lord, that you would raise up bold preachers. Lord, take the sissies and the prissies out of the pulpit there. That is so disgusting so disgusting to see the dearth of courage coming from a pulpit. Put real men in there, Father God. Lord God, that you would be honored and not dishonored the way you have been dishonored for so long by men who have not the courage to stand up and be bold, who fear government more than they do you. So remove them, Father God, again. Lord, we ask you for discernment and direction. Help us, Lord God, to take our nation back to one nation under God, Lord. And Father God, especially for the children. It's a horrible, horrible thing what the ungodly are doing to your children. And the ungodly, the wicked, the evil media will hide this. They are, no matter how wicked, how ungodly, how evil it is, the so-called mainstream media in lockstep will deny and they will lie and they will, whatever their masters tell them, they will do. And so, Father God, again, I would ask too, Lord, that you would remove them, bring them down, Father God, that you would raise up righteous people, good people, bring us back to one nation under God. Lord, teach the children to be children again. Have the women in this country want to be women again. And Lord, that you would, again, hedge around about the marriages as the wicked hate the very institution of marriage. Lord, restore the marriages, restore the families, Lord God. Father God, send people back to church. And again, bring us back to one nation under God, the way you gave it to us. This we ask in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask too for the radio program. We ask, Father God, for a miracle. We need a miracle for those stations, Denver and Portland and Little Rock and Atlanta and Orlando and Tampa. We have 18 days left, Lord. We still have 18 days to have a miracle. Lord, you know who's out there. There may be some people out there, Father God, who could pay the entire bill off and without even feeling it. And Lord, would also help us to continue to bring the message to the people, to be the watchman on the ward to these people. And Lord, we know too, Father God, that if those folks in those areas, in those stations in Denver and Portland, Little Rock, Atlanta, and Orlando and Tampa were to pray, if they were to pray, Lord, the way you tell them, Father God, to keep us on the air, we know, Lord, that you absolutely have no shortage of power when it comes to doing what you need to do. So we ask that that would happen. And Lord, before we go on the program tonight, we ask that you bless this radio program to yourself, Lord, in a way that it's honoring, glorifying, well-pleasing, and it bears much fruit to your glory. And Lord, through it, some might be saved. And then, Lord, I want to pray for Bev Rasm. Tonight she has COVID and she's as congested and heart failure in the hospital. And I would just ask, Father God, Lord, that you would touch Bev, Lord, that she might receive that healing. And her pastor, her husband, was such a bold evangelist. What a bold evangelist was. What a blessing he was as associate pastor to me for those years. And, Lord, so I would ask, Father God, too, is that you would bless her, touch her, heal her, and turn her desires towards you more and more every day in every way in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. And go ahead, Ken, you had a prayer?
Yes, thank you. Our dear, kind, generous Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We echo an amen and yearning in behalf of Pastor Ernie's dear, sweet friend in the hospital. We also echo an amen and plea for this ministry's efforts to reach so many of thy children across the land. There are many righteous desires here with Pastor Sanders and friends here, and we pray that thou might help find a way, a miraculous way, a way that would only be able to be attributed to thee, so that all might know that thou art the true God, the only living God. We also take a moment to pray for a little girl, 5 years old, in Salt Lake City, Utah, who has been in the hospital for many months, waiting for the day when she might have a heart transplant. And Tom Fairbanks, her grandfather, was with Pastor Ernie on the show around the middle of December, talking about many important things. And miraculously, today, that transplant has been provided. And we are sad at the same time, for we know some other little child passed away and lost their life and have given up their heart that Christina might have a heart. And so it is bittersweet and yet miraculous in thy perfect ways that that donor and Christina both are blessed in thee. We pray that the doctors may know exactly what to do and maybe have already done that, and that they may know how to help her recover quickly, and she might be able to run as a little child should be able to do soon. And we pray for anybody out there that may be listening this night that may be sad, sick, or lonely and wondering if thou art there. Father, please let them know that we know that thou art there, and let them feel that in their hearts, that thy light and love is abundant, and whisper in their ears to speak the words to thee and reach to thee is our prayer, that we might all find ourselves at thy feet in the not too far distant future. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
All right, thank you. Fellas, we're going to be reading tonight from Revelation chapter 21, verses 5 through 8. And so let's just turn there. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we start out here. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, now, who was it that sat upon the throne?
Well, Pastor Ernie, it was the Father and the Son.
Well, you know, again, basically, you're saying God sat upon the throne because yes. They're one, aren't they?
Yes. You can actually see that, Pastor Ernie. Visually, you could see it if you go to Revelation 5:8.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we get here, well, go ahead and read it.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, just hang on. When you get to, it's Revelation 5:6. You have the throne, and all the elders are around the throne, and the four beasts, as they're called, and the Lord is about to, the Father has the scroll to open up the judgments in the book of Revelation. So you get to verse 6, and it says, Lo and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. So the Lord came from the midst of the throne, or we would look at it other ways. The scripture talks about it. He comes forth from the bosom of the Father. So that verse there, Revelation 5:6, you see the Father on the throne and Jesus Christ coming forth out from the Father to take the book that was the book of judgment there. With seven scrolls, with the seven seals, rather.
Well, that's true, but you see, in this case here, so you're right in a sense, but in this case here, what he's referring to in Revelation 21 is here, making all things new, and He's talking about, and I saw a new verse 1, a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And when I heard the great voice of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. Well, here is where you come across, again, we know that that the Godhead is contained, the Godhead is contained bodily in the Lord Jesus. Wanted to just say, McCarthy just got elected. That just happened. He just got elected. That's he has the votes to get. So we'll talk about that a little later, but let's go back here. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrows nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So now, see, we get in here to the Creator God, and we know that the God the Father gives the marching orders. He says what to be done, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator, and now we're dealing with God the Creator. So when he says, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, Alpha and the Omega was a name for who?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and so here, so the beginning and the end. So anyhow, so he says this, let's go down here, when he said, and I will give unto them a thirst, a fountain of water of life freely. Who is living water?
Jesus.
Okay, he's the living water. So he goes on, and he says, and I will be his God, and they shall be my son. Or he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Who is it that overcometh? Now, it's got two applications here.
Well, the Bible tells us that believers have overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and love not their lives unto death.
All right, very good. You're right. So, but the, when he says this, though, but it's got another application. It's application here of, again, the Father and the Son. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And so it's got two applications. It's got that of first the Father and the Son, and then also remember the Lord Jesus himself is referred to as the everlasting Father, being the fact that the Father and the Son are one. Okay, so I know that sounds a little complicated, but you know, that's the reality. So he says this, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, I will be his God, he shall be my son. But now the fearful, now what do you think? Because that word fearful there, actually, it's really about something very specific, okay? It's referring to something very specific there, and unbelieving. Well, the unbelieving are fearful, the fearful are unbelieving, but it's the fearful, in this case here, are those that are not brave enough to stand up for Christ, are they not?
That's
what it's actually referring to here. The unbelieving, the abominable. The abominable, what do you think that means, abominable?
Well, people that are doing things that abominable, that's, that God can't stand. For example, idolatry and everything that goes with it, God detests. There you go.
One word, if you could use one word to describe abominable, the Bible describes it actually as vile, vile.
Okay, all right.
And so he's talking about those that are vile and murderers. Oh, boy, murderers. That's defined very clearly in Genesis 9, verses 5 through 7 here. And whoremongers, and now the whoremongers, okay, the whoremongers, is that, does that refer only to physical whoring, sexual, or does that have more than one application?
Yeah,
that's a good question.
Excuse me, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that's a great question.
Well, the answer is there.
Broad, yeah. It's a broad word, Pastor Ernie, yeah. And it would include really homosexuality, anything outside of marriage between a man and a woman.
Well, that's true. That's an application. But it's got another application of those that have gone whoring with, say, woke businesses that have sold themselves. If you read over, and especially Hosea chapter 4, where the Lord refers to the, and he's talking to the men. He's talking to the men, and these are the leaders. And he said that your wives and daughters will be whores. I will turn your wives and daughters into whores, but I won't punish them because you first were whores. You were whores first. In other words, now, their whoring was different. Their whoring was selling themselves to immoral practices for greed and things like that. But then that would also apply to sexual sin. But then he said because of that, because of what they've done, that he is going to punish their wives and daughters, and he will turn them into whores. And over there in Hosea Gomer, Hosea's wife was a whore.
Yes.
And he's using her as an example, the nation of Israel, in fact, the wife of God, as an example of a whore. How do you think that would apply to America today? How would you apply, what is the big whore in America today?
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'll jump in just to lend a voice to the thinking here. You know, what it made me think of is politicians, just as an example. They take money and they take a position. And that's, forgive the crudeness, but that's what a prostitute does, takes money and takes a position, so to speak. And that is, there's no moral good thing that comes out of exchanging money for anything other than the needs of the day, the food and whatnot. And so when you exchange money for anything other than a godly purpose or a righteous purpose, that would be whoring and prostitution.
You're absolutely right. Now, do we see this, in one area we really see this big time is in the judicial in this country today. In the judicial, especially prosecutors and judges. They know who butters their bread, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this case here, for example, now Kevin McCarthy, it looks they're counting now. It looks like he's got the votes. Now, Kevin McCarthy, he ran as a conservative, didn't he?
That's what I've heard.
Well, he ran as a conservative.
He hasn't acted like one for sure.
Now, so let me ask you this. Here are some of his votes. He voted for same-sex marriage. Is that conservative?
No.
He voted for the vax mandates for the military. Is that conservative?
No.
He voted for $100 billion to be sent for Ukraine for the blood fest there. Not conservative.
No.
He voted to use Medicare to fund the United States Postal Service. Is that what it was meant for?
No.
He voted for the drafting of women, for drafting women in the military. Is that conservative?
No.
He voted for the January 6th committee, the most corrupt people. If Satan If you went right to the gates of hell and knocked on the gates and said, I want the biggest liars you've got, send them out. That's where it makes a January 6th committee right there. He voted for the D.C. District of Crime to be the very first state. Is that conservative?
No.
Well, so
this
then...
This man is a really, really good prostitute.
So he... Now, so do you think he got compensated very well for doing all that?
Yes.
I would say so.
I heard it said that he is... would that he had fought as hard as he did to get this this win that appears to be coming off tonight. What is it, 14, 15 different votes? Please go away, sir. We don't want you. But he kept coming back. They've said, would that you have ever would have fought this hard against the crime and the Democrats and the immoral laws that they're trying to pass. Would you?
If he had done that, he'd got it on the first vote, wouldn't he?
Exactly. Shameful. This man does not belong in office. And my understanding is that he's one of those named in the Brunson case, the 400 Brunson versus Adams and 488.
Yeah, I believe he is, and we'll find out more than that. But you see, there's been a lot. We'll talk about that as we're finished here. Now, he says here, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All liars. That means that you're not going to have too many people at NBC, ABC, or CBS, are you?
going to be an empty place.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit empty there, Joe. Now, when we take a look at this, let me just ask you this. You had Joe Obama had made the statement today that five police officers were killed. He was out there today. They had this big ceremony. Five D.C. cops were killed. That's what Joe Obama said. That's what Nancy Pelosi said. That's what Eric Garland said. That's what Akeem Jeffries said. That's what Chuckie Schumer said. How many D.C. cops were actually killed?
Zero.
Zero.
Zero. Now, who was killed? There was a young lady who, and her name was Ashley Babbitt. You're right. A young lady, Ashley Babbitt, who was shot in the throat by a coward, by a low-down coward, by a dirty D.C. cop. He shot an unarmed lady. Now, normally, any D.C. cop would be doing that. Okay, look, what he did was 100 times worse than what happened with that George Floyd. Okay, what that dirty cop did, but that dirty cop did that in a dirty town. And today, those same dirty cops out there in D.C., those same dirty cops arrested Ashley Babbitt's mother. She was arrested. Do you know why she was arrested today? Because she was doing a memorial service for her daughter that was murdered by dirty D.C. cops. Wouldn't it be nice if all of the pastors in this country and those in the media would have the courage to tell the truth? Wouldn't it be nice?
It would be refreshing, that is for sure.
Absolutely.
By the way, I found the name of the man who shot her, and I was trying to remember it. It is Lieutenant Michael Byrd, spelled B-Y-R-D.
And he's no man. He is no man.
No. He's part of the Capitol Police, and I've seen pictures of him. He's a very big, bulky man, carries a weapon in the Capitol, and I've even seen the image of him sticking his weapon out of a door, as I recall. It's been some time since I've seen it pointed at her, and she was walking away from him, but she
I saw it. It was on the news. They had it on film, and she was actually trying to, you know, and to take the, and those dirty committee, that D.C. committee, those dirty, that those liars, those wicked, evil, ungodly people, you know, they made him a hero for murdering that lady. And I just want to, I'm going to just pray right now, Lord. And I just would ask the people around the country, folks, if you're tired of all this injustice, if you're tired of all the murdering of the innocent children, if you are, would you please stand up, please, and join with us right now in praying that God would remove that those, that everybody, that cop, that Michael Byrd and all of the others would end up in that same dirty jail. That same dirty jail where the patriots are, where the Christian patriots have been without a trial for 2 years. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, my prayer is this, Lord, that right now that people are praying with me out there, that those all of those on that committee, every single one, this, and all of those dirty D.C. cops, every one, end up in that same dirty jail, that same dirty D.C. jail where the patriots have been. Where people who they're not, that where the dirty cops aren't fit to even untie their shoestrings, Lord, that you would put those wicked, evil people right in that same jail, Lord, that they would be brought to repentance, that in that jail, in that dirty jail, they would realize how wicked and evil and how sinful they are, and they would repent of that, of their sins, lest they should burn. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And so...
Amen.
Hang tight, we'll be back right after this.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. When the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government, but heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992. When they murdered Dickie Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. When they stormed the church in Waco, women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. The gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. And now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. Gentle lambs of Jesus Christ brought in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government
when heaven's under siege.
Boy, all you have to do is look at our government and you know just how much heaven is under siege. And folks, I can tell you, that's a fellow I wish we had a thousand like him, Carl Klang. He was a real patriot. He was a real Christian man, a good, a godly patriot. And boy, do we need people. I wish we had more pastors like that in the pulpit. I praise the good Lord for the ones we do. And I know many, and I praise the good Lord for that. But we're only a real minority of those that actually fill the pulpits in this country. And that's the problem. That's why the country's in the shape that it's in today. So, fellas, what's going on right now? We know what's going to go on. What's going on down on the border in Mexico. You got a regular war taking place in Mexico with the Sinaloa crime cartels, and you know the Mexican army has got the son of El Chapo. He was arrested, and they're holding him. How do you think, John McTernan, how do you think that's going to end?
Well, Pastor Ernie, good parts of Mexico are really directly under the control of the drug cartels. Mexico is losing control of the country. So, from what I understand, there has been like attacks by these cartels on the government and on the army already for arresting El Chapo's son. But along the border, it's really under the control of the drug cartels, Mr.
Now, let me ask you a question here, because here's what I believe, and you guys tell me what you think. I think the Biden crime family is going to make an open, to make it look like they're going to, on the surface, support the Mexican government. But so that's the way it's going to appear. But underneath the surface, I think they're going to be pouring arms into the drug cartels and the human smugglers, because they've been keeping the border open. This has been the deal. Remember Obama's attorney general, how he supplied the drug cartels down there with arms, and what did they do? They ended up.
What's his name, Seth Ernie?
I'm having one of my senior moments.
I can see his face.
Eric.
Eric Holder.
Traitor.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Can I explain just a little what happened with that, Pastor Ernie?
Well, I hope so. That's why you're here.
Well, I don't know. You might want to explain that. I don't want to run over you. What happened was the federal government initiated a policy called Fast and Furious. And they were pushing, and now this is the federal government, AK-47s, all sorts of weapons across the border, and there was no serial numbers on them and no way to identify where they came from. And the purpose, well, the reason that they were doing this, now we know the reason, because they wanted to get the UN behind disarming us. And they wanted an international border incident with Mexico going to the UN, complaining what America was doing. And they would use this to initiate all sorts of laws. So there was a federal agent was killed on the border there. And a BATF agent knew this was going on. And he blew the whistle because the person killed was killed by one of these guns that were the federal government had got to the cartels. They denied it. In fact, this agent, there was two agents involved. They both were persecuted. They were called liars. Finally, the evidence is so overwhelming. And then the U.S. Attorney's Office in Arizona denied it, and Holder denied it. And they were behind, and it came out, they were behind the whole thing. And Congress wanted records from Holder. He refused to give them, and he was held in contempt of Congress. And, of course, the Justice Department wouldn't prosecute him, you know, because Clinton was under the control of it. So this whole thing was staged by the federal government,
and lied and denied it. In fact, that agent, Pastor Ernie, because he was called a liar, I don't know what happened to him. I don't know what happened to that agent, but he's a hero. He couldn't be an agent anymore because he couldn't testify in court. The government called him a liar. So, and if he testified in court, it would be held against him. They can't allow him to lie when he publicly is, by his own administration there, is called a liar. So I don't know what happened to him, but he was a bona fide hero in what he did.
Yes. Could I add to that, Pastor?
Sure, please. Yeah.
I'm a friend of mine, Alex Newman, wrote an article called...
I know Alex. I've had him on the program many times over the years.
I love the man. He's a great reporter. Anyway, he wrote an article called, this is 2013, December 30th, Fast and Furious, FBI Now Linked to Murder of U.S. Border Agent. He explains, in the latest explosive twist to the Obama administration's deadly Fast and Furious gun-running scandal, one of the key whistleblowers has now been identified, the FBI as a crucial player in the infamous 2010 murder of U.S. Border Patrol agent Brian Terry. According to the Bureau BATF Special Agent John Dodson, the criminals responsible for murdering Border Agent Terry were actually working for the two FBI operatives at the center of the Obama administration's deadly plot to arm Mexican drug cartels. And, you know, I don't know if you heard about this. I just learned it this morning, that President Trump spoke yesterday about this very issue, and I listened to this speech. I've not heard him more fiery in a long time. This little article says, former President Trump said Thursday that if elected again as commander-in-chief, he would deploy U.S. special forces and other military assets to, quote, inflict maximum damage, unquote, on cartels crossing the southern border. Trump announced, who announced for 24 Run, said, drug cartels are waging a war on America, and it's now time for America to wage war on cartels. Joe Biden has sided against the United States and with the cartels. Biden's open-door policies are a deadly betrayal of our nation. When I am president, it will be the policy of the United States to take down the cartels, just as we took down ISIS and the ISIS caliphate, and just as, unlike the situation we are in today, we had a very, very strong border, Trump continued, and who oversaw the strongest border in the history of our country, as President Trump says. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to sit at the border. To me, that translates into saying he's going to go into the country and take out the cartels. And I'm saying, it's about time we call the cartels foreign enemies.
Oh, well, I would agree with that 100%, but what I would do first, if I was Trump, I would go into Washington, D.C., and take out the real enemies. The real enemies of America, I'm sitting here looking at some of them right now as I'm watching accounts come in. That's the real enemies of America, the ones that belong in prison, the wickedness that they've done to this country.
Yes, but, amen to that.
Anyhow, so would you guys agree with me that you believe that that Joe Obama, the idea, the reason he's kept, done everything to make sure that the borders are open, is that drug money, you have trillions of dollars, trillions, like $15 trillion, worth of drug money have come in, and that drug money, a lot of it gets right back to the Biden crime family, along with his obligation to the pedophiles to keep a good supply of children going into this country. It sounds like so horrible. You would never even want to think that we would have anybody in government that would do that, but we do. Remember, recently he had drag queen in the White House. He just had a recently had a drag queen. These people, the beat people, are horrible. I mean, unbelievably wicked. Okay, and so would you agree with me that's what you think he's doing, or do you believe that what he's doing?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I said this several times on the show. When I was an agent and I was in Nashville, Tennessee, the group that I worked in covered Arkansas also, and the agents all knew about the cocaine coming in to Mena, Arkansas, through the airport. They knew it. They called it the Dixie Mafia.
Oh, absolutely.
The U.S. attorney that went after them, she was threatened. The FBI stood down, and she was threatened. She left. She left the U.S. attorney's office, became a school teacher. And Clinton was ahead of it, but over him was, I don't remember who George Bush's attorney general was then, but the Bushes were involved in it. And I'm not making this up, because it was known. It was known. The federal government knew it. The agents knew it, and they weren't prosecuted. So no. Clinton was running the operation, and the Justice Department was protecting Clinton. The female United States attorney who went to prosecute the drug dealers there at Mena, Arkansas, she was threatened, and she was run out of the U.S. attorney's office.
I know. I had her on a radio program a couple times, and she was hiding. She was on the lam and with her children. She was hiding. And I had her on the air. Now, do you remember a guy named Terry Reed?
Very familiar name, Pastor.
Okay. Terry Reed was a CIA operative. And he worked right along with a guy named Colonel... I'm having a senior moment right now.
Oliver North?
Oliver North, right. Those two worked together, and Terry told me how they worked out of down in Panama and, where the war was going on. I'm having one of those days out here. Do you know
Nicaragua?
Down there? Nicaragua, that was it. And they actually, that he was in there, and they were getting arms. Now, one of the men who was in prison up here, I was his pastor for years. In fact, we knew each other as kids. We were kids together, and we grew up. He got 16 years in prison. His name was Big Joe Delgado. He was running guns. He was running guns, working with the CIA into Nicaragua. And the deal was he could run guns in and drugs out. And that's what he was doing. And what happened was, when they were finished with him, he was a throwaway. They turned on him, and he ended up in prison. But here's what happened with Terry Reed told me that they were in a big warehouse, here's exactly what he told me, that they were in this warehouse, him and Ollie Reed, Ollie North, and he asked Ollie North, what's in those, all those big, they had those big storage containers? Ollie says, you don't even want to know. You don't want to know what's in those. And he went and they found out they were full of drugs. They were bringing drugs back into the country. And he said, I want no part of that. I want out now. Now I want out. And Ollie says, boy, it's not so easy. And so he went to the guy in charge. He said, I want to get out. I want out now. I don't want any part of this. And the guy put a gun right in his face, stuck it up. He said, there's only one way you get out. And that's at room temperature. So he went along with it. And then when he got back here to the States, he called me and he told me what I just told you. And he said, Pastor, he said, I know they've got a contract on me. I know my family and I, we're in hiding right now. And what do I do? And I said, what were you thinking of doing? He said, I was thinking of having a news conference. And I said, well, then what you do, you have that news conference, but you don't announce it. You just go, you get a platform, and right there on the spot, you call the different stations close by, tell them you got a breaking story, don't tell them what. You get them out there where it's live. And he said, that's exactly what he's going to do, and that's what he did. He went and he told his story, or he'd end up dead. Now, here's what he told me. He told me that in Arkansas, he went, when George Bush was president, and I think was it Schultz? Let's see, was it? No, not Schultz. Who was it? I'm going to tell you, I'm having one of those days there. Was his undersecretary. But anyhow, Terry Reed told me that they had a big meeting in a bunker. Bush wasn't there. He was president. But here come when Slick Willie was governor of Arkansas, Slick Willie come marching in there with Buddy Young, and they went walking right up. Buddy Young ended up being the head of the State Highway Patrol, and they went marching right up in there during the meeting. Went up to the front desk, and Clinton pounded on the desk and said, "I've got more skin in this game than anybody. I want a bigger piece of the action." And that was the drug dealing, bringing in the drugs in there. Now, when I went to Arkansas, they used 14 different Dixie mobsters to try to run me out in just over a week's time. 14 different Dixie mobsters to try to run me out of there. And I found out later from the new head of the state troopers, the only reason he said that they didn't kill you was because they could not understand why you weren't afraid of them. And that's what happened the very first night we were there. The very first night we got in there. Here's how it all happened. Do you remember Larry Nichols, John?
Oh, yeah, Pastor Ernie, sure.
Yes.
Okay, back about 1990, I got a call from Larry Nichols. He called me up. And I never knew him at that time. He says, "You don't know me." He said, "But I know everything about you. I know who you are, what you do, where you live. I know everything about you." And he said, I've sent you a package in the mail. And what I'm asking you to do, if you would do now, the reason I'm doing this is because I know that you've got the guts to do it. And all I'm asking you to do is read the information, and if you hear I ended up at room temperature, go on the air with this. It's all true. He said, "I swear by my life, by God, that it's all true, everything that you read in there." So I got that package in the mail. Oh, by the way, he said, "If you decide, after reading it, that you don't want any part of it, no hard feelings, you know, you don't owe me anything." So when I read it, I thought, this stuff is who can make this up? I mean, there was some real heavy-duty stuff in there. So I decided to go to Arkansas to find out. So I went down there to Conway in Little Rock and to find out exactly what was going on. I know we're coming up to a break here. And that's where it all started, down there. I wasn't in town. I brought with me another pastor, Mike, and one of my deacons. And I wasn't there an hour when we were first accosted by the Dixie mobsters. And this was a very interesting situation. But I'll have to tell you about it. I know we're coming up. The break is pushing hard on me. So with that, how much time do I have before the break?
99 minutes.
Okay. Then also I want to talk about Biden regime doubles down on baby killing for all. Baby killing, they use the word abortion. Baby killing for all agenda. And I want to hit on that when we talk about their wickedness when we come back. But I'll tell you that story real quick. And then we have a whole lot of other stuff that we want to...
Pastor Ernie?
Yes, sir.
I do have an update for you from the Brunsons. I spoke with Darren Brunson, who is the brains, the legal mind behind, and I can fill you in on that if you'd like that update.
That's right. Darren wasn't able to join us tonight, was he?
No, he was not. Loy was not. Neither. I reached out to them, but I do have a message from Darren Brunson very specifically for your audience.
All righty. We're coming up to the break, and when we come back from the break, we'll hear this message, and then I'll tell you about some of the other stuff. But anyhow, that's what's happening right now. Folks, hang in there. There's a lot more to come, so don't go away. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. And I hate these countdowns down there, okay, when you get done them. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Light the fire, light the light, feel the land, let's come alive.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.